Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. Broadcasting live from the fabulously fluoridated capital of Auckland, New Zealand, the island-chained nation in the sunny slave South Pacific, bringing you your daily dose of conspiracy and comedy, because in a world so full of chaos and madness, if you lose your sense of humour, you'll go friggin' nuts! My very special guest, Gerard Artson, joins us from Europe. I think it might even be the Netherlands or something. Gerard, welcome to the program.
Hello, Vinny. Thanks for having me.
Where are you from? And tell us a little bit about yourself.
I'm from Amsterdam, the Netherlands, indeed. And
I'm so jealous right now.
Why is that?
Because I'm a cannabis user. Go ahead.
Amsterdam is all right. It's a bit cold these days. Actually, not too cold today, but it's winter here on this side of the planet. And I'm a teacher by profession. And I've taken up this habit of writing about the extraterrestrial presence on our planet. So my first book was about George Adamski.
Well, speaking of the extraterrestrial presence, your audio connection there is breaking up quite substantially and making you sound like an extraterrestrial, a megatron, a non-biological organism, if you will.
I'm sorry to hear that.
It's going fine now. Sorry, continue.
All right, I'll try and keep my head still and not move my my headset. So my first book was about George Adamski, and I've just published a new book called Here to Help UFOs and the Space Brothers, in which I broaden my research into the extraterrestrial presence and their intentions, especially.
Okay. Well, I wanted to actually kind of divulge into this because there's a lot of speculation around UFO activity, and personally, UFO simply means unidentified flying objects, so it has no connotation between who's actually piloting those objects, so it could very well have a large proportion of UFO sightings are simply classified military aircraft. What do you think about
that? Yes. That could well be, and that's why in the title of my new book, I do not only limit myself to UFOs, but I also include the Space Brothers, as they used to be called in the 1950s, especially by the early contactees, thereby referring to the people who are piloting the UFOs that are actually actual extraterrestrial craft. So the early contactees, as you may know, said that according to their contacts, and I'm talking about George Adamski, Howard Menger, Daniel Fry, Orfeo Angelucci, these craft and the people came from other planets in our solar system. And I believe that I've uncovered sufficient corroborating testimonies from contactees in other countries to substantiate that.
Well, let's go ahead and actually try and substantiate some of the evidence, because I've been in this field for quite some time, you know, and I talk about such a wide range of topics, and there's a few topics that, as soon as you go into them, people instantly click off and they go, it's just crazy nonsense, blah, blah, blah. UFOs being one of them. Why is it that people have got such an aversion to this particular field? I mean, it's one of the stranger fields, to be sure.
Definitely, and you can't really blame people, can you? When you know that the whole subject has been ridiculed, actually, by authorities and governments, the UK and US government especially, since people like Adamski, and especially Adamski, because he gained worldwide recognition and fame through his books, his writings, his lectures. He went on a worldwide speaking tour in 1959. And you know, you have to remember, this is long before the internet and email. Everything then happened through regular mail that was sent, flown around the world in airplanes, etc. His book, the first book that he wrote together with the Irish aristocrat Desmond Leslie, was translated. It came out in 1953 in English, but then it was translated in almost 10 other languages within 7 years of its first appearance. So despite
the ridicule, there's still an enormous amount of interest out there in this topic, isn't there?
Well,
I think it was like next to porn, it's the most popularly searched four terms as aliens and UFOs.
Oh, that I don't know, but it's definitely still a popular subject. It's just that because of the cover-up, the conspiracy to cover up the facts that, as far as they were known to governments and the military, people have become suspicious over the decades. And this has been going on for, 60-odd years now. And people have come up, because of the suspicion, the wildest speculations about, you know, what the UFOs might be or who they might be piloted by. And so there's now a general consensus, it seems, that UFOs could be coming from anywhere in the galaxy, including the inside of the Earth, and maybe, you know, that they may be secret spacecraft. But at the same time, and it's what I argue in my new book, what is important to remember is that among the early contactees, there was no confusion. They were quite clear about where the UFOs came from. It's also quite interesting to realize that that the stories of abductions only began to appear after the early contactees had been ridiculed and derided. While if you now hear stories of dignitaries and officials who do go on the record with their stories, they never speak of abductions. They only have positive things to say. So, what I try to do in my book is to set the record straight in terms of what the UFOs are, where they're from, and what the intentions of the space people are. Because so much confusion has been sown over the last 60 years.
Exactly, and I think that people really need to kind of come to grips with this sort of thing. And part of the main agenda, or at least for me, and something I wanted to go into you with this, is this sort of false alien invasion that is allegedly planned to get everybody to freak out and go, "Oh, scary aliens! We're all dying! There's holographic projections of them blowing stuff up! We need a one-world government because we're humans versus aliens now!" That kind of element. I presume you've heard about this.
Yes, absolutely. And I think it's all... I don't know if there's this whole hoax of an alien invasion planned, but certainly Hollywood has played its part in conjuring up that scary image. It's one of the things that I try to counteract by bringing together all these different, you know, pieces of evidence, testimonies, not only from the early contactees, mind you, also from later contactees, and especially in other countries. So I start with people like Adamski and Orfeo Angelucci. I also bring in contactees from Italy, especially Alberto Perego. He was not only Adamski's contact in Italy, but he was one of the people in the mass contact case, friendship case in Italy that started in 1956 and went on until the late 70s. But there were also friendship branches, as you if you will, in South America. Interestingly, the information coming from the space people through those contactees in Italy and other European countries and South America say exactly the same things as the contactees said to Adamski and Menger and Fry, etc., etc. So I'm bringing together testimonies and evidence that corroborates the things that have been known but have been derided and therefore are now hardly taken seriously anymore by UFO researchers.
Yeah, yeah. Well, the thing is, the irony is that UFO researchers are hardly taken seriously.
It depends.
I'm talking about like by the mainstream to a degree, you know. And it's kind of like on the one hand, the mainstream movie establishment, on the other hand, love extraterrestrials, put them out all over the place. We've got this movie Transformers or whatever, saying that the aliens, robots built the pyramids. We've got all of these things that basically tie in alien civilizations with ancient human culture, and that our culture was built upon and managed by alien intelligence. And this has been done on many, many films, even so much as really lame, crappy films like Alien versus Predator, where they say that aliens came down, taught us our building techniques, our writing, and all of that kind of stuff. Have you found any evidence for that, like in ancient scriptures, or are you simply focusing on contemporary?
Well, I don't write about it, but it's been well documented, and it started in fact with the book that I just mentioned by Desmond Leslie and George Adamski. Desmond Leslie's part was in fact the first historical overview of records of extraterrestrial visitations, and he goes all the way back to, you know, old the times of the Old Testament and the Indian scriptures, and he brings it all the way up to, well, his day, the 1950s, and it's really an impressive overview, and so I'm absolutely certain that the alien or the extraterrestrials have been coming to Earth throughout our history, except not in the way that Hollywood has been depicting them. But there's always been this exchange, this communication between extraterrestrials on the one hand and the, let's say, the elder brothers of humanity on our planet, who have been overlooking, inspiring human evolution on this planet. And, you know, so there's my background is the Ageless Wisdom Teaching. I'm a student of the Ageless Wisdom Teaching. And that says that humanity is 18.5 million years old on this planet. We've been at it for 18.5 million years, gradually evolving from rather early primitive animal man to the point where we are now, with a mental faculty that is helping us to not only get us in trouble, but also make technological advances on our own account. Throughout our history, we have been overlooked. Our evolution has been overseen, has been inspired, guided by people who have gone ahead of us in evolution. And in the wisdom tradition, they are called the men of wisdom, the masters of wisdom. And the same thing happens on other planets, because life is, according to this tradition, life is not an accident in the backwaters of the galaxy, but it's a universal principle. And it, as a universal principle, it expresses itself on every level in the universe, on every planet, whether we can see it or not, and in every kingdom of nature. So we have, on our planet, we have the mineral kingdom, and out of that evolved the vegetable kingdom and the animal kingdom and the human kingdom. And out of the human kingdom has evolved the spiritual kingdom, the masters of wisdom. And the same has happened on other planets. But the catch is that on other planets, apparently life does not depend on a dense physical form. The you know, life at the frequency level of frequency that we're used to and that we can see, but exists on the etheric physical planes. And the etheric physical planes are actually four planes of matter higher above the gaseous physical that we recognize. We have the dense physical, the liquid physical, and the gaseous physical. But according to the wisdom tradition, there's four higher levels of matter called the etheric physical. And in fact, these have been discovered already by a scientist called Dr. Wilhelm Reich. He called it orgon. The orgon energy, he saw it as one field, a field of primordial energy that permeates everything. And it's the levels of matter where you find the blueprints of every form that you can imagine on the dense physical, every form that we can see, except they're on higher rates of vibration.
Sort of like the DNA of matter itself, sort of thing. DNA is a blueprint for a body. Orgon is a blueprint for physical matter, sort of thing. There, my very special guest is Gerard Aardsen, coming to us live from the Netherlands, and we'll be right back after the break at thevinnieeastwoodshow.com. Join us in the chat room there, if you please. Back in a moment. Divided we fall. Unity,
please don't desert me. Are you suffering from issues related to angina pain, high blood pressure, congestive heart failure, unbalanced cholesterol, irregular heartbeats, clogged arteries? If so, you are not alone. Millions of people are suffering from one or more of these problems. If you'd like to live your life free of sickness, pain, and fear, live your life with increased vitality, energy, and youthfulness, and experience your body healing itself, then this might be the most important message you'll ever hear. An effective 100% organic nutritional supplement is now available. Parton Body Extract is an exclusive formula of wild-crafted and organic herbs. It is extremely effective and starts to work within days. Get your Heart and Body Extract today by visiting heartandbody.com or by calling 866-295-5305, 866-295-5305, or heartandbody.com.
The First Amendment in the Bill of Rights limits the government's power by ensuring freedom of speech and preserves the rights of the people. Every day that passes, our rights gradually slip away. It's time to take a stand and let the government know that we are tired of losing our rights. LibertyStickers.com will allow you to express your rights and allow millions of people to see you stand up for what you believe in. LibertyStickers.com carries the largest selection of bumper stickers online, ranging from political to humorous. As always, you can find your favorite stickers that protest the war and the president. Don't see what you're looking for? Liberty Stickers will custom make stickers that will get your message across for all Americans to see. Go to LibertyStickers.com and see pre-made stickers that will get everyone talking. That's LibertyStickers.com or call 877-873-9626. Liberty Stickers, the world's most dangerous stickers.
But there's a reason, There's a reason for this. There's a reason education sucks, and it's the same reason that it will never, ever, ever be fixed. It's never going to get any better. Don't look for it. Be happy with what you got. Because the owners of this country don't want that. I'm talking about the real owners now. The real owners, the big wealthy business interests that control things and make all the important decisions. Forget the politicians. The politicians are put there to give you the idea that you have freedom of choice. You don't. You have no choice. You have owners. They own you. They own everything. They own all the important land. They own and control the corporations. They've long since bought and paid for the Senate, the Congress, the state houses, the city halls. They got the judges in their back pockets. And they own all the big media companies, so they control just about all of the news and information you get to hear. They spend billions of dollars every year lobbying to get what they want.
Years of economic earthquakes have shaken our confidence in stocks, real estate, currencies, even nations. Gold has become a safe haven, a universally respected investment that preserves and grows wealth in today's debt-addicted world. According to Swiss America, the key to surviving economic earthquakes is maintaining and growing your standard of living. Rising government spending and taxes almost ensure higher gold prices for years to come. The good news? You can protect your family and future, even if the euro crashes and a tidal wave of inflation devalues our dollar. Your first step to safety is to read Swiss America's latest white paper, Remaking Money. It's free when you call today, 800-289-2646, 800-BUYCOIN, or go to SwissAmerica.com, or download the new Swiss America app at iTunes. That's 800-289-2646, 800-289-2646, 800-BUYCOIN. Call Swiss America, the gold standard.
Warning. Warning. American. Warning. American Freedom Radio is habit forming. American Freedom Radio is habit forming. Use the truth carefully.
Your daily dose of conspiracy and comedy is the Vinnie Eastwood Show. In a world so full of madness and chaos, don't lose your sense of humor or you'll go friggin' nuts. Weekdays 5 to 7 Central on American Freedom Radio.
Back, ladies and gentlemen, to the most exhausted 2 hours in talk radio. It's the Vinnie Eastwood Show, broadcasting live from an obscenely late hour in an obscenely remote location, buried deep within the heart of Satan's dominion, right on here in the country of New Zealand. A very special guest, Gerard Artsen, is from the Netherlands, coming at us live from Amsterdam. Welcome back, sir. What were we up to before we went on to the break there?
I was explaining how it can be that the pilots of the UFOs are from the other planets in the solar system. It's that we can't see them because they live on the higher planes of matter that escape, that elude our range of vision.
This is actually very, very scientifically a sound principle as well, because all matter is simply energy condensed to a slower vibration, so that other matter can just pass through it. Ergo, if your vibration was simply adjusted, whether mechanically or whether or not you're even born into a vibrational frequency and can move it on a biological level, you would appear either invisible or be able to teleport or things of that nature. I think that's pretty scientific sound, isn't it?
Absolutely. The point is that our science has also ventured into these areas. There's a British biologist, Rupert Sheldrake, and he's posited the idea of morphogenetic fields. And in fact, if you ask me, that's pretty much a description of the etheric planes of matter, where we find the blueprints of all the physical forms that we see around us. So on other planets in our system, you find cities, you find forests, you find rivers, people walking around, animals, the mineral and vegetable kingdom, everything, except they're on the higher planes of matter, and because the rate of vibration of those planes is higher than the three lower planes that we live in here, the three dimensions, and so we can't see it. But if you would have etheric vision, and some people do have etheric vision, because they can see human auras or the energy fields around living matter, then they would be able to see everything that goes on the other planets in our system.
Some people dismiss this as some kind of religious mysticism to a certain degree. Like, oh, they can see this and I can't, and why can't I see it? And how is that different from any other religious domination that says, hey, look, I know what God is, I know what's out there, you don't, so obey me and do all that. How is it different?
Well, I think it's also different in the sense that science knows this exists. They call it dark matter. They call it dark energy. They're looking for it. They're spending millions of dollars on finding it, trying to find it. They built this huge particle accelerator on the French-Swiss border, and you know they're hunting the what they call the God particle. And this is 96% of the universe, the known universe that they know must exist because their calculations tell them that it exists, except they haven't been able to pinpoint it. And that's because it's beyond our range of vision. Some people may call it religious mumbo-jumbo, but I think scientists are looking for it. And some scientists with a slightly more open mind have been pinpointing it. Like,
well, incidentally, the founders of modern science, of mathematics and physics and all of that, were all actually deeply religious men who thought that science itself was simply a physical-based tool set for measuring the physical realm, not as a means of, in fact, replacing the spiritual realm.
Yeah, and I suppose it all depends on yeah, how open you are to other disciplines, other than your own. And unfortunately, more and more science and our scientists have, they've limited themselves to a very reductionist view of life. Well, it will prove. They will find out at some point when we talk about UFOs or extraterrestrial craft. One of the things that we have seen and that has been documented throughout the world is the fact that they seem to be able to appear out of nowhere or disappear into thin air. It's happened more than once that people can see a very metallic-looking craft, and suddenly it's gone. And that's something that our craft can't do. And that's just a matter for them of flicking the switch and returning to their original rate of vibration for their craft and the bodies that they have. That's the explanation from the Ages of Wisdom tradition. Excuse me. And so that explains the very, very unusual, from our point of view, unusual things that these people and craft are able to do.
Yeah, yeah. Well, again, it is scientifically possible. Even the Lear Corporation, I think, in the 40s and 50s, were experimenting a lot with electrogravitic technology, where they had two metal plate discs, kind of thing, separated by a thin wedge of I think it might have been a rubber or plastic or something. And when they ran an electric current through it, they found that the discs themselves started to emit this sort of anti-gravity well sort of thing and allowed them to float up. And not only that, but the more electricity that they pumped through it, the greater the energy output of those discs actually was. Like, for example, you put in 5 volts and it puts out 100. You put in 100 volts, it puts out 10,000. You put in 10,000 volts, it puts out a million, sort of thing, like an exponential energy output. And of course, just like every other bit of technology that would never break down, because it's simply using an electrical field to power itself and move along and would never touch the ground, never wear out, has no moving parts or anything like that, gets completely suppressed so that we have to keep grinding around an internal combustion engine, things which have been obsolete for the best part of 100 years.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you're touching on a very important aspect of excuse me, very important aspect of this whole this whole conspiracy to cover up the reality and the fact of the presence of the extraterrestrials, which is the technological aspect, of course. If governments and the military and I believe also business interests had not decided to keep from the public and had been willing to make it public what they know and introduce to the general public the people from other planets, we would have been living in an entirely different world with technology far, far ahead of what we have now. And in fact, I believe, as you say, that a lot of technological advancements have been made that have been kept on shelves just so that the oil industry, for one, could continue to make the profits for a few people, for a few corporations, but also, unfortunately, continue to pollute the planet in many different ways. And of course, now we have the whole nuclear industry that is not only runs on government subsidies, but again, enriches just a handful of people or corporations. At the same time, puts out pollution ever since the invention of nuclear fission technology. Pollution on the same erratic planes that we've been talking about that our scientists know nothing about. And Benjamin Cram, one of the people that I quote in my book, and he's also a student of the Ace's Wisdom and a very important one, if you ask me, and maybe we can speak about that in a bit. He calls it the deadliest release of energy of pollution in the history of the world, especially because what the nuclear pollution does on the etheric planes is affect the blueprints of our bodies and including our brains, and that's where the whole epidemic of Alzheimer's in ever younger people comes from, is caused by.
Also put the fact that all the kids are drinking out of aluminium cans might also be a small factor there. There's a lot of things that are going on with our bodies and with the world right now that people don't fully understand. And more to the point, it's almost as if we are. I don't believe in evolution. I believe in devolution, certainly, because you have a look at humanity and how stupid and lack of a better word, effed up at all is. You know, it seems very scientifically apparent that we're certainly devolving at an alarming rate.
I suppose from one angle, you could say that, or I would understand that you're saying that. But it's to do with our inability to see beyond the material dense physical planes, and our buying into this science limiting itself to reductionist empiricist view of the world, which is really sad. The extraterrestrials are here to help us make the transition that's going on in the world now. I do believe in evolution, that is one of the reasons why humanity and the planet are in crisis now. We are on the verge of a major expansion of consciousness as a planet and as a human race. We are about to reconnect with the awareness that we are one human race and that we share one planetary home, and that it's important to tackle global problems on a global scale. It's not for nothing that we have institutions, worldwide institutions, which unfortunately have also been misused, organizations like the United Nations. You know, these are, in effect, expressions of humanity's oneness and our realization that we are one. As a result of things like the Second World War, where you saw an enormous, momentous struggle for the spiritual nature of mankind. And as a result, we, of course, there were precursors to the United Nations, but the United Nations is a first expression of our the realization that we are one. And of course, it has been hijacked by installing the Security Council that can veto things on behalf of the superpowers. So
yeah, exactly. The General Assembly has absolutely no power of any kind whatsoever. It's the Security Council that runs it, the people who finance the UN and all of its various arms. I think there's 17 sub-organizations, and it was all set up by Nazis and globalists and fascists and communists and that kind of thing. The very first UN Secretary General was a top Nazi official in the Nazi administration during World War II. The person who donated the land to build the United Nations on was none other than John D. Rockefeller, who also incidentally, through US Standard Oil, financed the Nazi war machine. So you have a look at the roots of the United Nations, and I disagree with you that that's an expression of what humans have to say. I think that humans are much more tribal and local, and global problems are actually far too big for an individual or even group of individuals to comprehend, let alone solve. The smaller scale, the solution, I think, is actually usually it's actually reverse the way things are supposed to work. You know, like collectivism has been a costly experiment in the human experience, don't you think? Because the Nazis were collectivists, the communists were collectivists, now Chinese are collectivists, and have a look at what they do to people. They don't actually respect their individual rights and liberties and things of that nature. So it turns out, for my money at least, that it's the individuals and the smaller groups of people that are working on local issues going global rather than global going local that is the solutions to any human problems. But moving on from that, about multiple species of aliens, this is something people have been talking about for quite some time, that there's more than one or more than two, and I've heard as many as 11 to 14 different species of extraterrestrials that are currently in contact with human beings or with governments here on Earth. We'll get into more of that after the break, ladies and gentlemen. My very special guest is Gerard Artsen, coming at us live from Amsterdam. We'll be right back after the break. Join us in the chat room at thevinnieeastwoodshow.com. Back in a moment.
What would your life be like if you woke up each morning with new vitality, feeling better than you have in years, and you noticed a difference in your sleeping patterns, blood sugar levels, and had a sense of well-being overall? There's something that is changing thousands of people's lives, and you could be one of them. It's called Heart and Body Extract. Sharon Harris, co-creator of Heart and Body Extract, talks about the positive effects of Heart and Body Extract.
What happens with the formula Heart and Body Extract is it's giving the body the necessary vitamins, minerals, amino acids, enzymes, and phytonutrients so the body will heal itself. And yes, the body does have the ability to balance blood pressure, balance cholesterol, clean and unclog the arteries. It can also work on balancing the circulation for diabetics. So the body is an amazing thing. It simply needs some help so it has the tools to heal itself.
Heart and Body Extract gets results. To order your 2-month supply, call now, toll free at 866-295-5305. Order online at hbextract.com.
Do you realize every day we are being put under constant stress from wireless radiation? What's worse is that you don't even know that it's happening. It puts as much stress on our body as if we had a constant viral infection, draining our energy and sapping our strength, or just making us irritable and fatigued. These wireless fields are being emitted from computers, microwaves, mobile phones, power lines, and any electrical appliance. Now there is a solution. A group of research engineers
manufacturers in New Zealand have come up with an active shielding device that shields you from wireless radiation at a cellular level. Blue Shield comes in three models: a household, portable, and USB that plugs into any computer. The great thing about Blue Shield is it is very affordable and guaranteed to last. A one-off purchase will see you being protected for years to come. Visit AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click on the Blue Shield banner. Blue Shield, brought to you by the Vinnie Eastwood Show.com.
Just look at us. Everything is backwards. Everything is upside down. Doctors destroy health, lawyers destroy justice, universities destroy knowledge, governments destroy freedom, the major media destroys information, and religions destroy spirituality. I think there's more to know here.
What you hear about in this country is our differences. That's all the media and the politicians are ever talking about, the things that separate us, things that make us different from one another. That's the way the ruling class operates in any society. They try to divide the rest of the people. They keep the lower and the middle classes fighting with each other so that they, the rich, can run off with all the money. Fairly simple thing happens to work. If you know anything different, that's what they're going to talk about. Race, religion, ethnic and national background, jobs, income, education, social status, sexuality, anything they can do, keep us fighting with each other so that they can keep going to the bank.
SwissAmerica.com reports gold prices rose above $1,650 on bargain hunting and a weaker dollar. Gold last traded at $1,660 an ounce, silver at $3,555. New life for an old issue, the Gold Standard, reports AP. Ron Paul's drawing much attention to the cherished cause for conservatives, which is considered a relic of history, according to AP. According to Paul, the Gold Standard, although imperfectly adhered to, permitted startling economic growth combined with falling prices in the 19th century, wrote Paul back in 1981. In the 67 years since the abolition of the Gold Standard, consumer prices are up 625%. The AP story mentions GOP candidates Gingrich and Perry both have called for firing Fed Chairman Bernanke, but have stopped short of a new gold standard. Speaking of gold standard, be sure to get a copy of Swiss America's latest report, Remaking Money. You'll understand why a gold standard is the biggest nightmare to those who want a welfare state. More at SwissAmerica.com.
Yo, what's up? Check this out.
The voice of the revolution. American Freedom Radio. American Freedom Radio.
Listen to Time for Hemp, hosted by Casper Leach. Afternoons, Monday through Friday, 12 p.m. to 1 p.m. Central. Only on American Freedom Radio.
Speedway rappers, but I've never been edible. I'm a cracker, not a vegetable, fed to an extraterrestrial. The beat is so electrical.
Speaking of extraterrestrials,
but I bet you will eject it if I...
Right here on the Vinnie Eastwood Show, the show that's all about feeding vegetables to extraterrestrials, on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. Gerard Artson is my guest. And before we got kind of rudely cut off by the break, I was talking about multiple alien species. What's your take on that, Gerard?
Well, I think I mentioned earlier that life is not some chemical accident on this rather insignificant planet in this solar system on the edge of the galaxy, but a universal principle. And it's interesting to see the testimonies of people who have had contact with extraterrestrials, not just the early contactees in the United States, but other contactees as well in Italy especially, but also in South America, and people such as John Pope the 23rd or Kirsan Ilyusinov, who is the president of the Southern Russian Republic of Kalmykia. They all say, all of them agree that a man is a universal occurrence. A head, a trunk, and extremities, and they may differ a bit in size, they may differ in color, but the appearance, the way we look, is a very universal occurrence throughout well, at least the contact that that they've had. So, of course, people from Mars will look different from us, and people from Venus will look different from both the people from Mars and Earth, etc., etc., just as we have different races on this planet. So there will be superficial differences, but in effect, the human species is to be found all over the solar system, and I believe all over the galaxy. And you can call them different races, but I see it more as a universal human, what do you call it?
Humanoid. So it's basically like a humanoid universe that we live in, right?
Absolutely.
And everybody's got their own planets, I say. But some people have been saying that some of these alien, you call them aliens, you call them extraterrestrials. I'm not 100% sure whether or not any definition really fits anymore, kind of thing. I mean, it's kind of like all humans on the planet, as you said, are technically one, right, to a degree.
Exactly,
So. And because life is infinitely small in scale, like with bacteria that have cells within them that make up that bacteria, mm-hmm. that make up that, and so on downwards as so on upwards, in that sense, every species, every form of life in the universe, even the planets and celestial objects, star clusters, galaxies, etc., are all technically one as well. And what people's perception of the one, you know, like we're part of this particular one over here, is kind of like an abstraction, you know, sort of like this, humans try to make sense of things by scaling them down to a level at which they can comprehend, don't you think?
Of course, and that's understandable. But it's interesting because you're indicating yourself even that, you know, everything is interconnected, and that's exactly the message that the contactees are receiving from their contacts, the space people that contacted them. In fact, on the cover of my new book, I sort of summarized the message coming from space as life is one, so live as one. Or perish. You know, if we're not going to come together as a human race on this planet, as a unit in this human kingdom, if we choose to continue to work on the basis of competition and greed, causing more and more conflict and chaos, then we will destroy this planet, because we've already had wars for natural resources like oil. There are now armed conflicts expected over drinking water, clean water. And unless we decide to come together and solve our problems together through cooperation and through sharing the world's resources and the food and the technological knowledge and know-how, we will end up in a war that will eventually be some crazy dictator or somebody or some crazy military person will think it's feasible to just drop one nuclear bomb and it will set off a chain of nuclear explosions. So we will destroy ourselves unless we come together and realize that we are one and we should live as one.
Yeah, I mean, people are really foolish when they think that. Have you noticed that some people have got this this mantra? Okay, and that's basically what it is. It really is kind of like a religious tantric mantra. Competition is best. Competition is efficient. Competition is good. Competition is the best that we've ever come up with in our entire life.
Absolutely.
No, retard. Cooperation. Okay.
Exactly.
You got two people with two massive corporations working against one another. You accomplish half as much than if those two massive corporations got together and go, you know what, mate, I'm sorry, I don't want to fight you anymore. Let's work together and create something better and bigger for everybody. That's what cooperation can do over and above competition. Competition is about destroying other people. Cooperation is about building things together.
Absolutely right. I couldn't agree more. And I find it so reassuring to see since last year this whole worldwide movement that started basically in the Arab countries with the Arab Spring, where people have shed their fear of dictators and obsolete rulers, absolute rulers, and are now demanding freedom and justice for them in society. No longer because the Arab Spring has spread to Western nations that are debt-ridden, and they're debt-ridden because, you know, they had to bail out banks and large financial corporations with public money, and now they're implementing austerity measures to get rid of their debts. That they incurred to save those banks and corporations. So, you know, the people are...
It's like, well, what these people do is...
And they're not putting up with it anymore. And I find it very, very hopeful. And it's a sign of the times, if you ask me. It's the people realizing they when they get together, when they come together, they have more power than they ever held. possible. And so we have now the Occupy movement, and people are more and more they're calling for freedom and justice for everyone, not just for the people who can afford it, who can afford to buy justice or to buy the top lawyers, etc. If freedom and justice do not apply to everyone, you know, they're not really freedom and justice. They're universal or they're non-existent.
Yeah, I think that's actually one of the main principles of the universe, isn't it? It either is in the universe or it doesn't exist.
Exactly. If your freedom depends on the lack of freedom for someone else, then, you know, what kind of freedom is that?
And then freedom doesn't exist. Exactly. And I think that people, for to a large extent, nowadays don't understand anything that they do. Anything. You know, you go to a guy, I remember one time I was at a party, this guy from India, and he's wearing a leather jacket, and I go, you know where that jacket comes from? And he's like, I don't know, probably made in India. And you go, okay, how did they get that leather out of India if cows are sacred?
Yeah.
They march them on grim death marches for weeks at a time or something, and then wind up slaughtering them all outside of Indian territory. That's how. And people are literally wearing these things that they have no awareness of whatsoever, and they've come to define themselves by something that they fully don't understand at all. Mm-hmm. As a microcosm of everything.
Actually, the rule of the markets. The markets have been put up as the end all and be all of life, and everything has been put at the service of markets rather than the economy or the markets being put at the service of society. And the result is that, you know, we have millions of people dying every day or every year, starving for lack of food that's rotting in warehouses, or lack of medicines that could be produced very, very cheaply. And most people, you know, we no longer see that, allowed to see that on our TV screens. When I was growing up, we would see that on the news every day, but we're not allowed to do that anymore because people would turn away and they would miss the commercials. Nevertheless, you know, this is what's happening. And fortunately, more and more people realize that this is reality. And we need to move away from complete focus on economic values back to human values. When you said, the economy has taken over, that's exactly what has happened. And people, when you said we need to move from competition and greed to sharing and cooperation, and that's the only thing that will save the world. But of course, the problem is, how will enough people realize that, or realize that that's the only solution, and how will they be willing to make that move, to make that choice? That's the big question.
And now I'd like you to plug your websites and your books if you can before we finish up this show. Go ahead.
Thank you very much. The book is called Here to Help, UFOs and Space Brothers, and in it I make a connection between the coming of the UFOs and the return of the elder brothers of humanity to help us in this age, this time of transition. And more information about my book and my work can be found on my website, www.bgapublications.nl.
All right. Thank you very much for your time here today, Gerard Artson, ladies and gentlemen. Go Google him. And if you are very interested in the topics of which we've been discussing today, by all means, support the people that interest you by giving them some of your money, you know, get his book. And also, you know, and by all means, support this show as well. You can subscribe for $5 a month at thevinnieeastwoodshow.com and guerrillamedia.co.nz. Thank you, Gerard. And thank you, ladies and gentlemen, we'll see you next hour with Sonia from Truth of Girls.
Now you and your family and friends can enjoy the cleanest, most delicious, and healthy drinking water anytime, even while traveling, camping, at sporting events, or in emergency situations. The Berkeleyite removes bacteria, cysts, parasites, and harmful chemicals to below detectable levels. It also reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury, while leaving in the beneficial and nutritional minerals your body needs. Berkeleyite is so powerful, it can even purify raw, untreated water from remote lakes and streams. And the optional PF2 filters even remove fluoride. The Berkeleyite LED, with its rechargeable lighting system, can be used as a nightlight or a camp light. To view or purchase your Berkey water system and replacement filters, please visit American Freedom Radio's website at AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click the Berkey banner. Once again, that's AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click the Berkey water banner. Not yet available in Iowa.
The First Amendment in the Bill of Rights limits the government's power by ensuring freedom of speech and preserves the rights of the people. Every day that passes, our rights gradually slip away. It's time to take a stand and let the government know that we are tired of losing our rights. LibertyStickers.com will allow you to express your rights and allow millions of people to see you stand up for what you believe in. LibertyStickers.com carries the largest selection of bumper stickers online, ranging from political to humorous. As always, you can find your favorite stickers that protest the war and the president. Don't see what you're looking for? Liberty Stickers will custom make stickers that will get your message across for all Americans to see. Go to LibertyStickers.com and see pre-made stickers that will get everyone talking. That's LibertyStickers.com or call 877-873-9626. Liberty Stickers, the world's most dangerous stickers.
It's a big club, and you ain't in it. You and I are not in the big club. By the way, it's the same big club they use to beat you over the head with all day long when they tell you what to believe. All day long, beating you over the head in their media, telling you what to believe, what to think, and what to buy. The table is tilted, folks. The game is rigged. And nobody seems to notice. Nobody seems to care. Good, honest, hard-working people, white collar, blue collar, doesn't matter what color shirt you have on. Good, honest, hard-working people continue. These are people of modest means. Continue to elect these rich. They don't give a fuck about you. They don't give a fuck about you. They don't care about you at all. At all. At all. Yeah. You know? And nobody seems to notice. Nobody seems to care. That's what the owners count on. The fact that Americans will probably remain willfully ignorant. Because the owners of this country know the truth. It's called the American dream. Because you have to be asleep to believe it.
Years of economic earthquakes have shaken our confidence in stocks, real estate, currencies, even nations. Gold has become a safe haven, a universally respected investment that preserves and grows wealth in today's debt-addicted world. According to Swiss America, the key to surviving economic earthquakes is maintaining and growing your standard of living. Rising government spending and taxes almost ensure higher gold prices for years to come. The good news? You can protect your family and future, even if the euro crashes and a tidal wave of inflation devalues our dollar. Your first step to safety is to read Swiss America's latest white paper, Remaking Money. It's free when you call today, 800-289-2646, 800-BUYCOIN, or go to SwissAmerica.com or download the new Swiss America app at iTunes. That's 800-289-2646, 800-289-2646, 800-BUYCOIN. Call Swiss America, the gold standard.
No rules, no rules, no taboo topics, no taboo topics, no fear of doom, no fear of doom. We are American Freedom Radio, American Freedom Radio.
Welcome back. Oh yeah, it's hour number two of the most paranoid 2 hours in talk radio. It's the Vinny Eastwood Show. Engaging in schadenfreude. Finding it funny when the New World Order scumbaggery fall down in the cesspit and get poo on their face. Oh yeah, justice is sweet. Unlike feces. My very special guest is Sonia from The Truth of Girls. Sonia, welcome to the program.
Hi, Vinny. Thanks so much for having me on.
Well, I must say it's been a long time coming because ever since I got on the American Freedom Radio Network, I saw Truth of Girls and I said, hey, man, I really want to have these people on because before I'd actually heard about your radio show or gotten on American Freedom Radio, there was a video you did, and I think it was quite a while back, called The New World Order Supermarket, where you and your mate went into the supermarket, tried to find something that didn't have aspartame or some description of GMO or something like that. You can't find anything that won't kill you.
Yeah, well, you know, like a lot of people watch that and they kind of said, is this for real? But you know, it's not too far from reality. I mean, I can't be that paranoid all the time, or I probably would be weighing about 85 pounds right now. But it's true that when you go in the supermarket, if you really wanted to have pure unadulterated healthy food, you'd have a hard time finding it. Like 90% of it's not even food. It's like a whole lot of additives, and it's the toxins from the containers that will kill you. And then when you know, I used to drink things like soda, and I really didn't think much of it. Now I look at that, and I think, well, just the color alone should tell you something. I mean, it's obviously toxic, you know?
Yeah. Well, ask yourself those simple questions. Do I need something that'll actually eat holes in my brain and make me go blind and give me diabetes? No!
No, yeah, and some of these are serious. Like, I mean, look, I'm not actually what you would call a health nut. I mean, I do try to eat healthy. I stay away from junk food, and I do certain things. But I'm not, you know, obsessive with it, right? But the thing is that because our food is so adulterated, you can't just go to the supermarket and buy bread and buy eggs and milk and whatever and assume that what you're doing is okay. You know, you kind of have to educate yourself if you don't want to be slowly poisoning yourself and your family, including maybe your young children, without even realizing it. Like, you know, you said about blindness and stuff like that. Well, you know, these aspartame sweeteners are in a lot of things, and that's a really toxic chemical that turns into some kind of formaldehyde in your body and practically pre-embalms you. It's extremely carcinogenic. So, you know, if I can avoid that, I would like to, and I'd like to know what's in it. And another one is trans fats. And these are just highly altered molecules that are foreign to your body, that your body doesn't know what to do with it, and it'll screw you up and clog your arteries and do all kinds of things. And because of the labeling, a lot of times you don't even know that there's trans fats in it, because in America, anything that has 0.5 grams per serving can be labeled as 0 grams trans fat. Well, 0.5 grams is not zero, especially when a serving is one breadstick, you know? And in Canada, it's anything under 0.2 grams. So you kind of have to know what you're looking for. If you know hydrogenated vegetable oil means trans fats, well, then you know that that's probably something you want to avoid. So I was forced to have to become an aware consumer who reads labels, because you can't just assume that whatever's in there is fit for human consumption, because most of it isn't.
Yeah, it's kind of like a Blackwater changes their name to Z because everybody knows that Blackwater's dangerous kind of thing, you know. They change aspartame to, what was it, NutraSweet, all right? It's nutritional sweetness. It's safe for you. It's good. It's not going to give you brain damage. For F's sake.
Well, yeah, they changed it from NutraSweet to AminoSweet, as if that would fool us.
Yeah, well, get this, you know, it's like knowing what is in your food is like a full-time research position. Like, seriously, you need to take like an assistant lab partner position at a freaking lab or something in order to be qualified enough to know what the heck's in your two-minute noodles. It's out of control. And I digress. What I wanted to do, Sonia, and this is what I do with, what I like to do with everybody, is just kind of let you explain yourself to the audience, how you woke up to the New World Order, and plug your websites and such so people can hear more from you if they wish to.
Okay, sure. Well, how I woke up to the New World Order, well, step one was probably when I finally agreed to watch the collapse of Building 7. My boyfriend, well, my husband now, he was researching 9/11, and I came in one day and I said, "What are you watching?" I said, "Oh, it's the collapse of World Trade Center 7. And I was kind of like, "Oh, not that again." And he's like, "Well, why don't you just watch it?" Because I just wasn't interested in all the stuff he was researching.
Yeah, because it only takes 6.5 seconds of your time, honey.
Yeah, exactly. He said, "Yeah, it's only a few seconds. Just have a look at it." And I said, "All right." And I thought, "Oh, this is going to be dumb." And then I said, "Well, that was obviously a controlled demolition. What is this?" And he said, "That's part of the World Trade Center. They're trying to tell you that, you know, this came down because of terrorists." I said, "What? That was a demolition." And he showed me the other towers. I said, "That was a demolition." Because I had never even seen it. I hadn't seen it since the day it happened. And that day, all I saw was over and over and over the picture, the image of the plane going into the towers and blowing up, and then the dust and all that later. I never really looked at it. You know, I mean, I might have seen the collapse once, but I never really thought about it. And I certainly didn't know about Building 7. So that was an eye-opener. And after that, I started researching that. And I think the next big step was the vaccines, because my husband also said to me not to vaccinate our son. Uh-oh, speaking of our son, he just came in. And, oh no.
Well, you got to take care of him, if you will, because like when your children come into the room, what you got to do is just look at them as if, hey, it's the first time that you've ever seen them before, and then you tell them you love them and whatnot, and then send them on their way, because they need that little bit of attention.
Yeah, he's a doll. He likes to cook, and Aaron wouldn't let him put the garlic on. Go tell Daddy Mommy says it's okay for you to help. Aaron, let him help you. Oven. The oven's hot. Okay, sweetheart, go. Mommy's talking on the radio. Oh, he wants the mitten. Let him take the sweet potato out of the oven.
This is something that happens with family members, I find, is that sometimes your family or your boyfriend or what have you will wake you up to the New World Order, and then you wind up kind of going past them to a degree, like you begin to take it almost more seriously than they do. And I think this is kind of one of the interesting things about being human, I think, is that basically everybody's got this sort of pent-up potential, sort of like an elastic band that's sort of stretched out, and all it takes is just that one little lever to be pulled before someone snaps and hurtles off in a particular direction.
Well, you know, we both have our different areas of things that we like to research. He's more interested now in researching things like the occult, which is something that I don't get into as much. I mean, I hear about it a lot from him, secondhand. And he gets into different things than I do. But we just basically make a good team. You know, we both interested. We both research things. We also know when it's time to just, chill out. And we don't have to talk about it all the time. You know, we know how to just sort of hang out and have fun and all that. But, he was trying to warn me about the vaccines. And I hope this would give hope to some guys out there whose girlfriend is not awake, because I know that it's hard when one person's a truther or is awake and the other one is not and is really set in their ideas. And it's hard sometimes in the relationship because you're not on a wavelength about all this stuff. And that's how it was, I guess, for him and me, although he just kind of humored me and it seemed like things were going okay. Although I wasn't, completely clueless, but, when he tried to warn me about the vaccines, he didn't really know that much. He hadn't done a ton of research, and this was a few years ago, so there wasn't as much out back then as there is now, but he tried to warn me, said, there's something going on with the vaccines, and it wasn't really enough for me, and I went on the internet, and I Googled, and I tried to do my research, and I just kept coming across a lot of propaganda, and at the time, I couldn't see through it and realize that it was a lot of fear tactics and smear campaigns and propaganda, and, you know, what do you call it, like shoddy research, you know, cooking statistics, and not having really studied a particular effect, but by not having studied it, saying that there was no evidence that it had that effect, that kind of thing. You know, when they say the vaccines could do this or that, they'll take a big study. They won't really even be looking for that. And then they'll say, well, we didn't see any evidence of whatever it was, you know, because you didn't look for it. So I came across this kind of stuff and I went ahead and, even though I thought the vaccines probably weren't all that necessary, I went ahead and let them give him most of them because I figured it wouldn't do him any harm. And then, but I had heard about this autism stuff and I thought, oh, it must be very rare and maybe it's not really the vaccines. And then when he had a chickenpox shot, he had a reaction and we got really scared, you know, like we could see something was wrong with him and he was just screaming and screaming and screaming. And I wasn't even really worried about that shot because you don't really hear much about it, but he got the chickenpox rash and he wouldn't eat and he was not himself and he wouldn't look at us and we were really scared and we thought, oh my God, it's true, you know. And then, well, he did recover from that after a while, but it gave us a really big scare. And then I started to take it more seriously. So, you know, that's how it ended up being with me. And sometimes it's something like that, that you need as a wake up call. And luckily my son was okay, you know, but I know other people whose kids were vaccine damaged and, or maybe from something else too, but they were autistic and they thought they were vaccine damaged, but because they had done a lot of research, they were able to get them some proper help, like biomedical interventions, where they don't just treat it as a behavioral disorder, but they look at the underlying medical problems, like toxicities or autoimmune problems or digestive problems, and they treat it. And their kids, you know, pretty much recovered. I mean, one of them, she would never tell anyone that her son had had an autism diagnosis because he doesn't look autistic and there's no need for him to have that label. He's perfectly just, you know, typical now. So, you know, sometimes it takes something like that to wake people up. Sometimes it's a tragedy and sometimes it's just a little splash of water in the face like what we had.
Mm-hmm. And how did you start getting into radio and making your YouTube channel and all of that?
Well, the YouTube channel, a couple of years ago, I used to do visual arts, and then when I had my son, I realized that I just couldn't do it anymore because he kept getting into my supplies. But I needed a creative outlet, and I was always kind of inclined to performing arts and things, and I'd done some of that. So my friend and I just pulled out a camera. We started vlogging about things, and there was a lot of humor in it. And then we were surprised that a lot of people liked our vlogs, and so we did more. And at the beginning, it was, you know, we would tell stories about people getting harassed at the airport, but the way we were telling the story, it was kind of funny. Or we were talking about chemtrails or other things, but what we were talking about really were concerns of ours. It's just that we were kind of playing up the humor aspect of it. And so it started like that. And then after a while, I started just making more serious vlogs, and because I'd always been really keen on researching things, even before the internet, I think. I was always a bit of a bookworm and at the library and things like that. People say I look like a librarian. Well, I'm not a librarian, but I did spend a lot of time at the library. So, you know, I was always like that. So this just gave me an outlet to combine my research efforts with my creativity, and so I just kept doing it, and you know, people respond to it. And what's great is that I'll put something up and they'll comment and send me links and they add to the information and add to the discussion. And it's like together we figure the puzzle out.
Yeah, yeah. And that's like what we were talking about in the last hour of my previous guest, is that competition doesn't work very well. Cooperation works much, much better.
Yeah, I don't feel like it's a competition. I feel like, yeah, it's a collaborative, cooperative effort on the YouTube community. I mean, I guess for some people it's competition that they want to have the most views and whatever, but it's not really like that, you know, for me. But I get a lot out of the interaction. I really do. I feel so connected to all those people, even though I don't know them. Some of them I know them by their usernames. I recognize them. Sometimes I meet people in the street that I would have never met if it wasn't for YouTube. You know, I've met many people in Montreal that I might have met them anyway, but because they'd seen my videos, we kind of felt already like we know each other. We're both truthers, and they've seen my stuff, and they know something about me. And it just brought me closer to people. And in general, in our little truther community here, the internet, I think, has helped us to connect with each other. So it's pretty cool because we actually know each other in real life now.
Yeah, yeah, it's turned into sort of like a community thing, and I say all the time, you know, if you're around friends in your local community who don't support you, who don't listen to you, or don't inspire you, or don't help you to progress as a person, or something like that, there's 7 billion other people out there. You don't have to restrict yourself to still, seeing those same old people talking about those same old things all the time, kind of thing. And I think the internet has really allowed people to socially interact and find people who they would never, ever have run into by accident otherwise.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. I've met a lot of really interesting people because of it. Baby.
Take care of the baby there. And it's the same thing here in New Zealand, I go out and I go out to protests and film public meetings and things like that and publish them up on YouTube. And it gets to the point where people start to recognize me at protests and they've seen my videos.
Whoa. Oh, I'm sorry. Oh, I was just trying to pour something in a bottle so we could have half, and he just grabbed my hands and it spilled. Here, baby.
You go for your life and clean that up there.
Half. Oh, it's okay. Take care of it.
Live radio and parenthood, folks.
Sorry about that.
Yeah, and I find it's really good because people kind of they come up to you and they think they know something about you, and the reality is they don't really know something about you, but they know that there's something that they do like about you, and that's usually all you need in order to come up with in order to build a relationship on somebody. You know, I don't know too much about you. I don't really know who you are, but I've seen some of the things that you've been doing, and I like it, and I'm impressed, and I wanted to talk to you and meet you and send you an email or call into your radio show or something like that. And what it does is it sort of sparks this kind of I don't know. It's a mixture between cooperation and competition. It's like a comp-operation. And you're kind of competing not with other people, but with yourself. You're like you're trying to improve yourself by cooperating with other people. And it's through that interaction that you wind up really coming to conclusions that you never would have come to before, exposing yourself to information that you wouldn't have found otherwise.
Yeah, definitely. Well, that's what I found. And it's true that we don't really know each other, but we know, it's like it's almost like a family, you know. I mean, you have weird people and you have the grouchy uncles and whatever, but it's like we're really connected, you know. A lot of us were on this wavelength, so I'll meet people, and just the fact that they're awake to this the same way and they have a similar kind of mission, it just brings us together in a way that I never felt anything else bring me together with other people.
Kind of like a human magnetism. You're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, coming at you live from the fabulously fluoridated capital of Auckland, New Zealand. My special guest is Sonia from The Truth of Girls on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. And we'll be right back. Join us in the chat room at TheVinnieEastwoodShow.com.
Are you suffering from issues related to angina pain, high blood pressure, congestive heart failure, unbalanced cholesterol, irregular heartbeats, clogged arteries? If so, you are not alone. Millions of people are suffering from one or more of these problems. If you'd like to live your life free of sickness, pain, and fear, live your life with increased vitality, energy, and youthfulness, and experience your body healing itself, then this might be the most important message you'll ever hear. An effective 100% organic nutritional supplement is now available. Heart and Body Extract is an exclusive formula of wild-crafted and organic herbs. It is extremely effective and starts to work within days. Get your Heart and Body Extract today by visiting heartandbody.com or by calling 866-295-5305, 866-295-5305, or heartandbody.com.
Do you realize every day we are being put under constant stress from wireless radiation? What's worse is that you don't even know that it's happening. It puts as much stress on our body as if we had a constant viral infection, draining our energy and sapping our strength, or just making us irritable and fatigued. These wireless fields are being emitted from computers, microwaves, mobile phones, power lines, and any electrical appliance. Now there is a solution. A group of research engineers in New Zealand have come up with an active shielding device that shields you from wireless radiation at a cellular level. Blue Shield comes in three models: a household, portable, and USB that plugs into any computer. The great thing about Blue Shield is it is very affordable and guaranteed to last. A one-off purchase will see you being protected for years to come. Visit AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click on the Blue Shield banner. Blue Shield, brought to you by the VinnieEastwoodShow.com.
But there's a reason. There's a reason. There's a reason for this. There's a reason education sucks, and it's the same reason that it will never, ever, ever be fixed. It's never going to get any better. Don't look for it. Be happy with what you got. Because the owners of this country don't want that. I'm talking about the real owners now. The real owners, the big wealthy business interests that control things and make all the important decisions. Forget the politicians. The politicians are put there to give you the idea that you have freedom of choice. You don't. You have no choice. You have owners. They own you. They own everything. They own all the important land. They own and control the corporations. They've long since bought and paid for the Senate, the Congress, the state houses, the city halls. They got the judges in their back pockets. And they own all the big media companies, so they control just about all of the news and information you get to hear. They spend billions of dollars every year lobbying to get what they want.
SwissAmerica.com reports gold prices rose above $1,650 on bargain hunting and a weaker dollar. Gold last traded at $1,660 an ounce, silver $3,555. New life for an old issue, the gold standard, reports AP. Ron Paul is drawing much attention to the cherished cause for conservatives, which is considered a relic of history, according to AP. According to Paul, the gold standard, although imperfectly adhered to, permitted startling economic growth combined with falling prices in the 19th century, wrote Paul back in 1981. In the 67 years since the abolition of the gold standard, consumer prices are up 625%. The AP story mentions GOP candidates Gingrich and Perry both have called for firing Fed Chairman Bernanke, but have stopped short of a new gold standard. Speaking of gold standard, be sure to get a copy of Swiss America's latest report, Remaking Money. You'll understand why a gold standard is the biggest nightmare to those who want a welfare state. More at SwissAmerica.com.
You're listening to the future of talk. American Freedom Radio. This is American Freedom Radio.
Hi, everybody. I'm Christopher Green. Make sure to tune in to Green Wave Radio every Tuesday and Thursday from 3 to 5 p.m. Central on American Freedom Radio. Hard-hitting and in-your-face, America.
I got some so-called friends. They'll smile right to my face. All when my back is turned.
They pass draconian legislation and take over my country and destroy every freedom we ever had. Yeah. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the show that's all about celebrating tyranny and then laughing at it. It's the Vinnie Eastwood Show. Right here on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. Probably the most fabulous network on the web today. And notably, there's two reasons for that. First reason, the team at American Freedom Radio, the Romero family, the solid gold, never betray you, never lie to you, the kind of like the salt of the earth, those kind of people. Those are the kind of people that you only ever want to work with, and the only kind of people I will work with from now on. Anybody starts to engage in scumbaggery, anybody starts to be like slightly suspicious, I write them off and I'm never freaking contacting them or working with them again. Okay, it's just that simple, because life's too short to deal with bad people. Secondly, and very much dovetailed with the first point, is the hosts. Very similar in scope and nature. Like my very special guest, Sonia from Truther Girls. And we had a comment in the chat room, Sonia, that you were the one that introduced one of our listeners to American Freedom Radio, and she wanted to extend her thanks very much to you.
Oh, great. Well, that's great to hear. I'm happy about that, because I agree with you about AFR. I mean, they're really a solid team on the production end. They're really nice people, and they have some great hosts, some terrific shows, and it makes for really great radio and lots of really good information circulating.
Yeah, and they say they do lie a little bit, though. Like, for example, they say there's no rules, no taboo topics, when the reality is there is a rule. It's to have fun.
Yeah.
And that's about the worst lie you'll ever get out of the team at American Freedom Radio.
Yeah, that and not to drop any F-bombs.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, those aren't rules that they created. Those are rules that were created by the FCC that you have to abide by on a decent radio network of this size, you know. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like so many things are out of our hands, and this is the point. It's the people around you that you can rely on. It ain't the government. The government was never going to be something that you can rely on. I mean, well, the mafia is more reliable than the government, because when you pay mafia protection money, they protect you.
Sorry, my little bunny just came in again.
Yeah, this is the daycare version
of
a Vinnie
Eastwood. So sorry about that, Gunny. Go finish your dinner, and then you can go play with Piggy after. Okay, be a good boy.
Yeah.
Sorry about that. I really am. You know, I blame the roast, because I made this roast and I put it in the oven too late, so that's why dinner's late. Because normally we would have eaten at 6 o'clock, but I put that little roast in, and I thought it would only take 20 minutes. I called my mother, and she said it takes an hour. So Everything got all screwed up. Sorry about that. I'll just organize
it. Don't worry. It could be worse. Can't say how. I mean, you know, your internet connection could be dropping out, for instance, due to the NSA.
Yeah, everything could be shut down due to SOPA or PIPA.
Or you could have been one of the residents of New Zealand that were arrested recently for violating copyright laws. You know, listen to this. Two New Zealand residents are among four people arrested for allegedly violating anti-piracy laws in a crackdown on the world's largest file-sharing site. And you'll love it how this works out. Internet tycoon Kim.com, formerly Kim Schmitz, was arrested this morning in Auckland, along with three others, as part of an operation led by the U.S. Department of Justice, targeting large-scale criminal copyright infringement and money laundering operations around the world. So, anybody ever see Team America World Police, America policing the world? Sound familiar?
Yeah. I was just going to say, what are they doing in Australia?
It's New Zealand.
So ironic, because they themselves are involved in money laundering all over the place. Give me a break.
Well, the thing is, if you're laundering money and you're not giving them their cut, then they might arrest you. But if you're part of the clique and you just go, look, my CIA buddies are great. But here's the, where was it? There's a great name that they have here. Here we are. .com, Finn Batardo, Matthias Ortman. Wait a second, I think I know Matthias. And Bram van der Kolk, part of a group known as, wait for it, Mega Conspiracy.
Oh no! It was the tinfoil hat crew.
You can't make this up.
Kidding.
Nope. They arrested the Mega Conspiracy group. Ooh.
Did well. That just proves that obviously conspiracy theorists are engaging in online piracy. They're dangerous and they're probably terrorists. So there you go.
See, I wonder how they're able to put websites in, because I presume that online pirates only have one letter on their keyboard. It's R.
R. Probably.
Oh, goodness sake.
They've been trying for a long time to shut the internet down in so many ways, and that was something I'd been following for a long time. And I remember that there was some of the things they did. Well, I remember they had the Internet Czar set up for Australia, and they were going to make you all have to buy antivirus by law. Did they make you do that?
No, I don't think so. They instead forcibly inject you with viruses at birth by law.
they swapped it for that. Well, that was one. And what was another thing? Oh, licenses for bloggers, a license to use the internet, having to pay fees for having any kind of blog. And then also there was the internet superhighway versus the side roads, and you only get on the superhighway if you pay. So your website would never be found by anybody because it's off on the side roads somewhere out in rural cyberspace.
Cyberspace. That's a great term there. I love that.
Yeah. And then there was what else? Oh, of course, it's all about online. What do they call it? Well, terrorism, cyber attacks, right? So that was a whole other angle. They came up with so many different ways, the internet kill switch from President Obama. And then also, you need to go with Daddy and go play with Piggy. Oh, no. Well,
where's Daddy in all of this? You know, I thought relationships were supposed to be a partnership.
I know, he's in the other room. He's doing his best. He's okay. Sorry.
Okay. Regardless, come to think of it, I wanted to ask you something, Sonia. What happened to your co-host? You had a co-host once.
Karen. Well, you know, she wasn't really that committed to doing online radio and things like that, and she just kind of she participated in some of my videos, and then she you're going to go down in a minute. She you know, did some videos with me, and then when I started radio, she'd been doing videos with me, so she did a radio, but you know, she's a university student. And so she had a lot of work with that. And then in the summer, she had to get a job. And so she just couldn't do it because she was working. So it's not, I mean, her life and my life are very different. You know, I have a flexible schedule and I'm really committed to doing this kind of stuff in particular, like what I'm doing. So I work around that. Whereas, you know, she really just had to take whatever job that she could get. And, you know, she had to work. She has to go to school. And that's just the way she has to do it.
Mm-hmm. And I was thinking you kind of talk about the word committed and in the mental institution sense of the word. Like people like you and I, we were like fully committed to doing the radio. And I had a co-host as well, Will Ryan, my very good friend, and similar circumstance. You know, he and I had known each other for a long time, and we did the show together for I think about 8 months or something. And then it just arrived to the point where he really just couldn't do it anymore because it was really soaking up a lot of his time, and he wasn't fully committed. He wasn't putting all that extra work into the show and whatnot, and he just kind of decided to bow out. And and I presume it's the same situation with you and your friend, is that you're still very good friends, and you still meet up, and you still have a few laughs, and you know, occasionally you'll do stuff together, like a radio or a video or whatever. And it just comes down to the point where it's not about so much somebody's like flaking out or whatever. It's just, hey, everybody's circumstances are different, and some people are committed to doing some things more than others.
Oh, that's right. I mean, she's been doing other stuff. She got involved with the Infringement Theater Festival, and she'd been doing activism like through theater on stage. So she, you know, I mean, the YouTube channel was my channel anyway. It's my site, and I've had a lot of people on there. I've had Lara on there. It started out with Lena. I've had Janie on, and I've had a few other women on with me, but it's basically my project. And so Karen was involved for a while. And now she's just focusing on her studies, and she's doing other kinds of activism. And, you know, that's fine. I'm just happy she was able to contribute for a while. But I can't expect everyone who participates in some projects I do on YouTube to then be committed to doing the radio show with me the same way that I am.
Because it's your project kind of thing. You know, you started it. It's your responsibility. Anybody else I find that gets involved in any way, shape, or form is doing it on a purely volunteer basis. You know, they're not being paid. So, you can't expect them to do anything. And what I find with some truth is they don't understand that, and they actually get angry and get into fights with former co-hosts and stuff like that. And it's just really silly.
Yeah, well, you know, I don't get paid to do the radio because I don't ask for donations and I don't have sponsors. And I suppose I could if I wanted to, you know, really try to get sponsors. But I don't know. To me, it's just not about the money, you know. I mean, I have some ads that I run on my YouTube channel. So, you know, you're not going to get rich off that or anything. But that's where I get some, you know, compensation for all the time I put into it, as opposed to asking for it from listeners, which I guess I could do. That's what some people do, you know. So, you know, I get something out of it, but not, you know, enough to start paying people to work for me. I mean, it's not at all in that kind of range, you know. It's very little. So, but that's okay. To me, it's really not about the money. It's just the experience. It's just happening, you know, and I'm just kind of going with it.
Yeah, yeah. See, for me, it's I'm not on that same wavelength with you. It's not necessarily it's about the money, but it's more the fact that I do put a lot of time and effort into it, and to pay the internet bills and to pay my rent and to pay to feed myself, because I'm doing this full time, I can't afford to. And I find that listeners are just overly generous with me, and I'm so grateful for it, because I want to do this full time, and I feel that I do very important work. I bring on Kiwi activists that nobody else brings on. Incidentally, if you have a look at the hits on my website, because I'm kind of like the only Truther talk radio show in New Zealand, or being broadcasted from New Zealand, I actually get more hits on my website from New Zealanders than the entire global audience combined. And it's because that they feel it is absolutely necessary to support me in order to make sure that we have some form of media in this country. Because, you know, I'm working all day, every day. And,
yeah, no, I know. And it's good that you brought that up, because that's what people don't realize, is how much time goes into this kind of stuff. I mean, I spend hours researching to do a vlog that I condense into 7 minutes, but it's intentionally condensed to be as concise and digestible as possible, so people can get the most information in the smallest amount of time. So that takes a lot of work, and then I stay up late editing, you know, and I do the radio. It is a lot of time, but, you know, I'm a mom, and I have another job that I do that's sort of like not the entire day, so a few hours a day I do that. But if I didn't have that job and I had to work 8 hours a day, then it would probably be either I do this or I do that, or I would do it on a very small scale, because for sure it takes up your time and you just can't do both. So if you're doing it full time, then you really have to be getting compensated for it. Otherwise, what are you supposed to do? Go down to the soup kitchen for dinner after you're done with all your stuff? I mean, the internet bills and everything, that's what the YouTube ads pays for, my internet bills, you know, basically.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's actually what happened to me. That's actually what happened to me as little as last week. I had to go down to the unemployment office and get a food voucher because the cupboards were bare and I had not enough money to get any food, you know?
Yeah.
So, you know, living hand to mouth. And it's kind of like when people sort of say, oh, you're asking for money, therefore you're a scumbag or whatever. It's like, mate, have a look at what we do for a living, okay? We're trying to make sure that other people have access to information that they otherwise wouldn't have access to. You know, it's pretty straightforward. And it's something that people really do actually value nowadays. And unsurprisingly, they value it heaps. And they want more and more and more of it. And I think it's because I've got the power to do this, okay? Because I have a radio show that gives me a certain amount of power. You know, I can – and I give that platform to other people who really deserve the coverage, people like yourself and top activists here in New Zealand, that kind of thing. That's how power is supposed to be used. It's not meant to be coveted. It's meant to be given out. And I think people really appreciate that.
Yeah, it's definitely that's what it does. I mean, with the amount of viewers that I reach, it really gives me the power to spread information very efficiently. You know, it was much more efficient than when I used to go out with flyers and reach maybe 10 people. Now I can reach 10,000 people.
Yeah, I mean, and it's about effective activism. It's all very well being an activist, but if you're not having an effect, if you're not using your time wisely, then basically you need to up your game a little bit here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, you know, for now I do it like this, and I guess I'm, you know, I really like the experience of doing it, and it you know, it's paying my internet bills and it's manageable the way I'm doing it right now. And like you say, you know, people want that. People want this information. So it's just our way of contributing and doing our part.
Yeah, exactly. If you've got the ability, that means you've got the power. If you've got the power, it means it's your responsibility. If it's your responsibility and you shirk it, then you're not just letting down yourself, you're letting down the entirety of humanity. And if you're a good, decent, moral, and ethical person, you would never do such a thing. You're listening to The Vinnie Eastwood Show. We'll be right back with Sonia from Truther Girls.
What would your life be like if you woke up each morning with new vitality, feeling better than you have in years, and you noticed a difference in your sleeping patterns, blood sugar levels, and had a sense of well-being overall? There's something that is changing thousands of people's lives, and you could be one of them. It's called Heart and Body Extract. Sharon Harris, co-creator of Heart and Body Extract, talks about the positive effects of Heart and Body Extract.
What happens with the formula Heart and Body Extract is it's giving the body the necessary vitamins, minerals, amino acids, enzymes and phytonutrients so the body will heal itself. And yes, the body does have the ability to balance blood pressure, balance cholesterol, clean and unclog the arteries. It can also work on balancing the circulation for diabetics. So the body is an amazing thing. It simply needs some help so it has the tools to heal itself.
Heart and Body Extract gets results. To order your 2-month supply, call now, toll free at 866-295-5305. Order online at hbextract.com.
The First Amendment in the Bill of Rights limits the government's power by ensuring freedom of speech and preserves the rights of the people. Every day that passes, our rights gradually slip away. It's time to take a stand and let the government know that we are tired of losing our rights. LibertyStickers.com will allow you to express your rights and allow millions of people to see you stand up for what you believe in. LibertyStickers.com carries the largest selection of bumper stickers online, ranging from political to humorous. As always, you can find your favorite stickers that protest the war and the president. Don't see what you're looking for? Liberty Stickers will custom make stickers that will get your message across for all Americans to see. Go to LibertyStickers.com and see pre-made stickers that will get everyone talking. That's LibertyStickers.com or call 877-873-9626. Liberty Stickers, the world's most dangerous stickers.
Just look at us. Everything is backwards. Everything is upside down. Doctors destroy health, lawyers destroy justice, universities destroy knowledge, governments destroy freedom, the major media destroys information, and religions destroy spirituality. I think there's more to know here.
What you hear about in this country is our differences. That's all the media and the politicians are ever talking about, the things that separate us, things that make us different from one another. That's the way the ruling class operates in any society. They try to divide the rest of the people. They keep the lower and the middle classes fighting with each other so that they, the rich, can run off with all the money. Fairly simple thing happens to work. If you know anything different, that's what they're going to talk about. Race, religion, ethnic and national background, jobs, income, education, social status, sexuality, anything they can do, keep us fighting with each other so that they can keep going to the bank.
Years of economic earthquakes have shaken our confidence in stocks, real estate, currencies, even nations. Gold has become a safe haven, a universally respected investment that preserves and grows wealth in today's debt-addicted world. According to Swiss America, the key to surviving economic earthquakes is maintaining and growing your standard of living. Rising government spending and taxes almost ensure higher gold prices for years to come. The good news? You can protect your family and future, even if the euro crashes and a tidal wave of inflation devalues our dollar. Your first step to safety is to read Swiss America's latest white paper, Remaking Money. It's free when you call today, 800-289-2646, 800-BUYCOIN, or go to SwissAmerica.com, or download the new Swiss America app at iTunes. That's 800-289-2646, 800-289-2646, 800-BUYCOIN. Call Swiss America, the gold standard.
News and information you can trust. This is American Freedom Radio. Freedom, freedom, American Freedom Radio. Radio. American Freedom Radio.
Truth Brigade Radio, live Monday through Friday, 7 to 9 p.m., only on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. The truth has just gotten hotter.
Welcome back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. For the most drum and bass 2 hours in talk radio, it's the Vinnie Eastwood Show. Coming at you live from a chasm in the middle of nowhere where incredibly freaky sounds are coming out of, like a giant steel coffin with a gargantuan vampirical figure coming out of it. And Sonia, you wanted to talk about, and I think I just talked about this earlier today on Chris Green's show, about these really messed up sounds that are being recorded, these sort of earth groans. And you said you've been doing a bit of research on it. I'd love it if you could actually divulge and actually give a kind of a recap for those people who might not be aware of this phenomenon.
Okay, well, this has been going on since last year. It's been getting a lot of attention since last fall, but actually it's been going on for a lot longer than that. And what's really strange is that usually it's a hum or some kind of booming, banging sound or something like that. But lately there have been some recordings where it sounds actually musical, like some kind of wind instrument maybe, or even almost like a human voice. And they're actually hitting notes. So it sounds very musical and people are pretty alarmed. And one of the big ones was in Alberta and also in Costa Rica. And so there are all these videos from all over the world about strange sounds and people recording them. And it's not a hoax. I've had a lot of people telling me personally that they've heard these sounds. And I did a video kind of recapping that and considering, well, what could it be? Well, I don't think it's the trumpets of Revelation. I don't think it's a hoax. And I thought, well, it could be a natural phenomenon, something associated maybe with earthquakes, or maybe it's something that's being done with some kind of technology by the military or, you know, the government, basically the military. So I've been looking into this more, and I came across this on Rents.com. Eerie Sounds, the Harpies Orchestra of Woodwinds and Brass by Yoichi Shimatsu from Japan Times Weekly, general editor of Japan Times Weekly. And so what he's explaining is, he said, protons ring around in spirals inside and against the mirror edges of electromagnetic field lines. And protons trapped inside artificial electromagnetic belts are known to disrupt radio transmissions. These eerie new sounds, however, are at a higher frequency in the audio range, a likely explanation being that high-charged nuclear protons vibrate at higher frequency. So it could be high-charged nuclear protons that are ringing around in spirals, he said, against the edge of an electromagnetic field lines. And these electromagnetic fields could be caused by harp. Well, this video website, radical.org, radical, but with a T, they have a pretty comprehensive explanation of harp and other programs, and they mention that harp can be used to generate geomagnetic field aligned ionization to control the reflection / scattering properties of radio waves. So they generate geomagnetic fields, and then also on Set You Free News, they're talking about the radiation spikes in Australia that couldn't be explained by normal laws of geophysics, because the particles should have had to go all the way around the world before they would get there. That they wouldn't go straight down. They would have had to go all the way around. But that they might have been sort of fast-tracked there via what's called an artificial radiation belt, he says, arching through the upper atmosphere from Alaska to Australia, devised under a U.S. Navy program that started in 1957. This thing is called the Sky Bridge. And it's composed of fast-moving supercharged protons trapped inside a field line or ring current as part of the Earth's natural electromagnetic fields. So electromagnetic fields and supercharged protons or radioactive, high-charged nuclear protons might have something to do with it. And he says in the third article that it might have something to do with it's a part of the Earth's natural electromagnetic field, but they created this sky bridge. They created this fast track. And what else have they created with harp? Geomagnetic fields. So it could be something that's happening as a result of how electrical or, you know, electromagnetic or geomagnetic fields are being manipulated by something like HARP. And in this first article, he says that what happens is the electron shells around the protons are highly excitable, reacting to inputs of energy, and thus metal vibrates, creating oscillations. Ionized metallic protons still have remaining electron shells, but being unstable due to the loss of some electrons, they vibrate more. And that what happens is as they're vibrating, when this reaches the trees, he says, as their carbon molecules start to hum, gaining strength with resonance, that's how you get the sound of music. It's like it's amplified as it comes into this electromagnetic field, and because of the presence of trees. That's what he says, and that could explain what happened in Alberta, maybe in Costa Rica. But when I look at these other videos, they're not all happening in wooded areas. And the ones in Virginia and Colorado right before the earthquake, I think probably had something to do with the earthquake, which might have been caused by fracking, or some people thought maybe an underground nuclear explosion, possibly, you know, with the conspiracy theory that it was to destroy the tunnels. In Belarus and in Kiev, it happens in the city, and those are those musical kind of sounds. It happened in Ontario. It happened in a lot of places, but it's a different kind of sound in Ontario. It's more like a humming sound in Windsor. And then I found on YouTube, someone had uploaded an Unsolved Mysteries video called Mystery Hum. And this was recorded back in the early 90s.
I've seen that, yeah.
Yeah, and so people were complaining of strange noises at least in the early 90s, possibly the late 80s. And if it was in the late 80s, that wouldn't have been from HARP, because HARP was set up in 93. So it could be, in my mind, it seems like it's probably created by something man-made through some technology. But I think that there are several different things going on here. I think that the sounds that were heard when there were earthquakes is one type of sound, and that had one kind of effect. It's probably man-made, might be related to fracking, like I mentioned, or something else. I don't know, nuclear or another application of HARP. And then there's the mystery hum, which has been around for a very long time. I don't know what that's from. And then you have what sounds like music in the forest, which could be caused by these electromagnetic or geomagnetic fields and charged protons, you know. So it could have something to do with atomic particles.
Yeah. See, and the other question is why. And I got a couple of speculations on myself. Have you ever heard the Earth sounds? You know, or the planet sounds? NASA did a couple of recordings of the radio frequencies coming off of planets in the solar system, and they sound very, very similar to this exact phenomenon. And that was a theory my girlfriend came up with. It's actually the Earth's audible frequency that's starting to come out now. Other possibilities with HARP and the alleged false flag, staged alien invasion or / return of the Messiah type thing is that HARP technicians are actually performing sound checks, kind of like how you do a sound check at a concert and you stand at particular points in the stadium to make sure that the sound is equal and perfect in each area. That might be why these sounds are going on all over the world in different places, kind of thing. So it's very strange nonetheless. And what I find is most particularly interesting is that you actually have a solicited emotional response to hearing the noise. Have you felt that? Like you actually feel this kind of freaked outness?
Yeah, I haven't because I haven't really heard it. I mean, I heard it on the internet and I thought, well, that's weird. But it didn't have any major effect. But I researched more into the effect sounds can have on people. Someone had brought up binaural beats, but you really have to have a headset on for those to have an effect. And then there is something called a feraliminal lycanthropizer, which is a device created apparently by the Nazis that would bring out your most base animal primal urges and emotions like rage and lust and things like that. And that would kind of feralize you, right? Or lycanthropize you, turn you into a werewolf. But I don't really think it's that, because you see these people in Alberta and it didn't seem to have any major effect on them other than to just yeah, freak them out, because it is really strange, you know. But you don't hear reports of sudden, you know, a spikes in crime or rape or anything like, you know, like violent crimes and rapes and things like that. You know what I'm saying? And I think that there are several causes, and that could be one of them. It could be something that they're testing. I mean, I wouldn't put it past them to, you know, there was this Virgin Mary appearing somewhere in Africa last year in the clouds. Could be Project Bluebeam. You want to combine that with the trumpets of doom? You know, all you need is Jesus to show up, and there you go. You have like a perfect psyop.
And there's even, and that was another theory that I had, is that's exactly what it is, a big psyop, and it could freak people out, particularly the Christians, because it's even in the Bible somewhere, allegedly somebody's been telling me that in the Bible it says that during the last days or near the end of the world, the earth will groan and whatnot. Have you heard about that at all?
I didn't hear about groaning. I know it said... to be like a woman in labor, but no, I didn't. I haven't heard that about the groaning. That's interesting.
Well, something like that. I can't be 100% sure. And psyops being done on Christians, I think, it would be nothing new, because it just makes them all want to stand down to the New World Order and think that we're all going to be raptured. Okay. So anyway, thank you very much, Sonia, for coming on the show today, and please plug your websites before you go.
Well, thank you very much for having me, Vinny, and sorry again about the interruptions. My YouTube channel is The Truther Girls, and there you will also find links to my website, which is thetruthergirls.com. I'm on American Freedom Radio on Thursdays from 2 to 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. That's AmericanFreedomRadio.com that you're listening to right now. So, and then I have also my blog, which is thetruthergirls.wordpress.com. And it's all linked. All the links are on my website or on my YouTube channel. So just Google The Truther Girls.
Yeah, exactly. Couldn't be simpler. The Truther Girls, ladies and gentlemen. Sonia, thank you so much for coming on and spending some of your valuable time with me here today.
Thank you, Vinny.
All right. And thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen, for listening in. And please, if you do like the broadcast and you want it to keep continuing, subscribe for $5 a month at thevinnyeastwoodshow.com and guerrillamedia.co.nz. We very much appreciate the donations. Thank you, and see you again sometime.